Turn with me again this morning to Mark chapter 11. We'll begin reading at verse 27. And Lord willing, we will finish Mark 11 this morning. They came again to Jerusalem, and as he was walking in the temple, the chief priests and the scribes and the elders came to him and began saying to him, "By what authority are you doing these things? Or who gave you this authority to do these things?" And Jesus said to them, "I will ask you one question, and you answer me, and then I will tell you by what authority I do these things. Was the baptism of John from heaven or from men? Answer me." They began reasoning among themselves, saying, "If we say from heaven, he will say, 'Then why do you not believe him?' But if we say from men," they were afraid of the people, for everyone considered John to have been a real prophet. And answering Jesus, they said, "We do not know." And Jesus said to them, "Nor will I tell you by what authority I do these things." Father, again, we thank you for your word this morning. We ask once again for the help of the Holy Spirit to take your word and to speak to your people, to take your word and to create your people. Maybe this morning, for the first time, someone might come to see Jesus Christ for who he truly is and bow and submit to him. Father, we ask for your good and your perfect will to be accomplished. As we pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. This passage in Mark 11, beginning at verse 27, begins the final confrontation between the Lord Jesus Christ and the apostate heads of Israel, the apostate leaders of that religious system. It will start on this Tuesday morning. It's now Tuesday of the final week of our Lord's life. It is Tuesday morning. The confrontation will start in the morning and it will end on Friday with Jesus hanging on a cross between two thieves, and Jesus wins the confrontation. The Jewish leaders hated Jesus. They hated him for what he said, both against their hypocrisy, against their legalistic works system. We will take a closer look at that next week as we come into chapter 12 of Mark. But the challenge that Jesus is facing now, the challenge that's recorded in these verses, is not based upon something that Jesus said. It's based upon what he did. It's based upon his actions. The day before, if you'll remember from last week, he has gone into the temple and he shut the temple down right in the middle of Passover season, where the population of Jerusalem is just swollen to millions of people. Jesus walked into the temple, the very heart of Judaism. And he shut it down. He stopped it. He stopped the sacrifices, which the whole system, the whole Mosaic covenant, the whole system of Judaism is based upon the sacrifices, centered around the sacrifices. He stopped the sacrifices. He stopped the money changers. No longer can you exchange money from foreign currency to buy the sacrifices to offer. He stopped the carrying of merchandise and things through the temple court, which would have been the wood for the sacrifices, which would have been the water, which would have been the clean linens for the priests. He stopped the temple service. This is a picture of the prophecy of the fig tree that Jesus had just previously seen, a fig tree full of leaves, full of talk, full of the potential to bear fruit. And he goes over to that tree and there's no fruit there. And he cursed it and he said, "Never again will anyone eat fruit from you." The next day, you remember, John looked and said, "Hey, the tree, it's withered from the root up." The religious leaders are questioning Jesus' authority. They're going to come up to Jesus and say, "We want to see your credentials. Who do you think you are? Who do you think you are? If you fly today, there'll be someone who will tell you to take your shoes off. Maybe your belt. There'll be someone who will tell you to empty your pockets and put it in this plastic little tray. There'll be someone who will tell you to walk through a metal detector. And you do as you're told. No questions asked. You're frisked by another man or woman. You're told to raise your arm from your side. And they take a wand and they go all over your body. And you do it. You do what you're told. These people are directing you, directing me, directing us because they have authority. They have authority to act in this way. Though they're usually not very big. Some of them are very tiny and small. And their uniforms aren't really all that impressive. But there's a little tag on the uniform that says TSA. And you know, we know that behind those three letters stands all the authority and the power of the laws of the United States of America. To argue with them, to refuse to obey, is absolutely foolhardy. They will win. And you won't fly. If you want to get somewhere, if you have a goal to get somewhere, you will do what they tell you to do. Or you won't get there. This passage is dealing with the question of authority. The authority of the Lord Jesus. Jesus Christ. If it is foolish, if it's foolishness, foolhardiness, to ignore and to refuse to obey someone that has TSA initialed on their shirt, what would you call it? If someone ignores or refuses to obey someone that has SOG stamped all over them. Son of God. It's insane. Before we walk through these verses very quickly, I want us to just think for a moment this morning. I want us to think for a moment this morning about the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. We who profess faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, do we recognize His authority, or are we always asking for His credentials? What gives you the right? We're going to do a little bit of a topical sermon before we begin the exposition of these verses. The authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. When you said, "I believe in Jesus Christ," you are saying, "I recognize, I understand, I bow to the authority of Jesus Christ." When you stood in the waters of baptism, when we stand in the water of baptism, we were saying, "I submit to the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ." To understand who Jesus is, we have to start at the right place. We have to start in the Word of God. We have to start in the Bible. We don't start any place else. We don't start with experience. We don't start with feelings. We don't start with hunches. We start with the Word of God. We start with the Bible. Turn with me very quickly to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. This is Jesus Christ. Beginning at verse 15. He is the image of the invisible God. S-O-G stamped all over him. Son of God. The firstborn of all creation. Does not mean Allah, Jehovah Witnesses, that He was the first thing created. He was the first thing born in creation. That's not what that means. It means that He is the firstborn in supremacy. The law of primogeniture in the Old Testament. The firstborn son of a family got everything. Everything belonged to him. All the inheritance of the father, all of the estate, all of the money, all the servants, all everything was his. And then he gave it out to the siblings according to his will and purpose. That's what it means in that text when it says, He is the firstborn of all creation. He is the supreme one, ruling and reigning over all of creation. Verse 16, For by Him all things were created, both in the heavens and on the earth. The Jesus Christ we profess faith in is the one who created everything there is in heaven and on earth. Visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through Him and for Him. This world's not created for us. It's not created for our enjoyment. It's not created for our blessing. It's created for the Lord Jesus Christ. And in Him we enjoy. In Him we are blessed. Through all creation. It's created for Him. He is before all things. He is before all things. And in Him, all things hold together. Basically, that last phrase, in Him, all things hold together, could be translated, He is the Gorilla Tape. He is the Gorilla Glue. He is the one that holds all things together. Be careful. We've got to be careful. When we look at this world and all that's going on, we say, oh, it's falling apart. It's coming unglued. That is a personal attack upon the Lordship of Jesus Christ. It is an attack upon the Word of God. And in Him, all things hold together. He is also the head of the body, the church. And He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that He Himself will come to have first place in everything. For it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in Him, and through Him to reconcile all things to Himself, having made peace through the blood of His cross. Through Him, I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven. This is where we start. We want to think about the authority of Jesus Christ. So many modern scholars today, so many groups today, want to start in understanding Jesus. They want to start with the softer, gentler, kinder Jesus. The milquetoast Jesus. The meek and mild Jesus. And then from this understanding of this Jesus, that somehow people think that's going to be much more attractive, that's going to be much more appealing. That somehow it's more comforting to someone to say, well, here's this Jesus, and He's weeping with you, and He's understanding your suffering, and He's so gentle and meek, and you've heard it said, you know, God really had nothing to do with this death of your loved one, and nothing to do with this tragedy, nothing to do with this flood in West Virginia and the death of 23 people. He was just sitting in heaven, just kind of helpless and kind of wringing His hands, hoping, get out of the way, get out of the way. Rather than the Jesus who is absolutely all sovereign and all wise and all powerful and all loving and is working all things together. He holds all things together according to His will. Which brings more comfort? You go to a doctor, you have something seriously wrong with you. The doctor comes in and goes, well, I think that it might be this, and we can try this, and you're really in a bad shape. Or have a doctor come in and say, I got it covered. You're in a bad shape, but I got it covered. They began with a human Jesus, and then they tried to progress somehow to His deity. This is not what the Bible does. This is not what the Word of God does. The Gospel of John, turn with me there, chapter 1, verse 1. Familiar verse? John 1, 1. In the beginning was the Word. That's Jesus. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. You don't start. The Gospel of John doesn't start with a human Jesus. The Gospel of John and everything that follows that so stresses and emphasizes his humanity starts with a divine, holy, reigning Lord Jesus Christ. Go with me to the book of Hebrews, chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. God, after He spoke long ago to the fathers and the prophets and in many portions and in many ways, in these last days has spoken to us in His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, through whom also He made the world. And He is the radiance of His glory and the exact representation of His nature, and upholds all things by the word of His power. When He had made purification of sin, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, having become as much better than the angel as He has inherited a more excellent name. The book of Hebrews starts with an exalted Christ. And it's in this background of this exalted Christ that we read in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9. But we do see Him. We see this exalted Christ, this divine Christ, this reigning Jesus. We do see Him who was made for a little while lower than the angels, namely Jesus, because of the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, so that by the grace of God He might taste death for everyone. Tempted again to chase a rabbit, but we're not going to chase it. Everyone. What does that do to particular redemption? What does that do for definite atonement? What does that do for limited atonement? Well, keep reading. Verse 10, for it was fitting for Him, for whom are all things, and through whom are all things, and bringing many sons to glory. That's the family of God. That's dying for the church. The everyone of verse 9 is defined in verse 10 as the sons that will be brought to glory and daughters. The perfect, the author, to perfect the author of their salvation through sufferings. For both He who sanctifies and those who are sanctified are all from one Father. We, if you're Christian this morning, if you've come to saving faith in Jesus Christ, you can say, I have the same Father as Jesus Christ. And that's what it says. For both He who sanctifies, that's the Lord Jesus, and those who are sanctified are all from one Father, for which reason He's not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will proclaim your name to my brethren in the midst of the congregation. I will sing your praise, and again, I will put my trust in Him. And again, behold, I and the children whom God has given me. That's the everyone back in verse 9. The children, the sons, that God has given to the Lord Jesus Christ. Book of Hebrews, Gospel of John, begin with an exalted Jesus. If you've come to faith in a human Jesus and you're trying to work your way somehow to get to His deity and His glory, you started at the wrong place. Look at the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul met Jesus on the road to Damascus. A warm, fuzzy, gentler, kinder Jesus. He met the risen, enthroned, glorified Jesus first. He saw Christ in all of His glory. And then Paul learned and wrestled and struggled to put together the humanity of Christ. The early church never had much of a problem with the divinity of Jesus Christ. They always struggled. How do you put the humanity in there? How do you connect humanity to that? But they knew Jesus Christ is divine. We switched it around today, and we have Him fully human, and we're trying to figure out some way to try to put divinity in there. And we're wondering why. Why the church is weak. There's only one mediator between God and man. Paul saw in his amazement that this Jesus, who is God-man, the God-man, the Redeemer, the Mediator, the one who would stand between a holy God and sinful man, the one who is God-man, who can bring and bear the sins and the penalty and the wrath that sin deserves for man and satisfy the holiness and the justice of God. They meet in Jesus Christ and in Jesus Christ alone. And I really believe that that's the message that is the church. We've got to be more bold to proclaim. We've got to be willing to go against political correctness. We've got to be willing to go against all the movement and the influences of the world to just see everybody as equal, everybody as same. Everybody believing their own thing and headed for the same place. That's not what the Word of God teaches. How does the Gospel of Mark begin? The beginning of the Gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Everything that follows in the Gospel of Mark is presenting this supreme being, this supreme figure that now we come to the place where we see has full authority over all things. In Mark, we're first introduced to John the Baptist. It's going to come up in a minute. John was an amazing figure. After 400 years of silence, 400 years God not speaking to His people, here comes John the Baptist and God speaks. And John says, "It's not me. There's one who comes after me who is much greater than I am. I'm not even worthy to bend down and to play the part of a slave and unloose the strap on his sandals. I'm not even worthy to do that." Jesus in the Bible clearly declares His ultimate and absolute authority. Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. Beginning of verse 18. Jesus has been crucified. He's dead, buried, resurrected. He's about to leave His disciples. For the final time, He's met them in Galilee. He says, verse 18, "And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth.'" All authority. "Go, therefore," or "as you are going, therefore, make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you." All that I... teaching them to obey all that I commanded you. "And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." That is claiming absolute authority. Full authority. Ephesians. Let's go there real quick. Ephesians. Sermon isn't complete without one trip to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1. You know where we're going. Verse 20. Which He brought about in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And He put all things in subjection under His feet and gave Him His head over all things to the church. Jesus' authority over all things is for the church, it's for His bride, it's for His family, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all. Philippians 2, 9-11 speaks of His authority. 1 Peter 3, 21 and 22, if you're taking notes. Go with me to Matthew chapter 7, just back up a little bit. Matthew chapter 7. Verse 29, after the Sermon on the Mount. Verse 28, we read, when Jesus had finished these words, the crowds were amazed at His teaching, for He was teaching them as one having authority and not as their scribes. What's that? What's that? What stood out? What amazed these people? Jesus would stand and say, verily, I say unto you, I command you, I tell you. The scribes would stand and say, Moses says, somebody else says. Jesus stood and said, I say, I command you. Jesus revealed His authority over all things. Over all the forces of nature. All the signs that we've been looking at. All the miracles that we've been looking at were signs to point us to who Jesus is and to make us recognize He has full authority. He's in the boat with His disciples. The storm comes up. They're scared to death. He's asleep. They came, and these are professional fishermen. At least four of them were. Made a living on this lake in the midst of these storms. And the storm is so bad that it scares them to death. And they come and they wake Jesus up and they say those terrible words. Don't you care? Don't you care? The Son of God that left the glory of heaven to come to this earth, become a man, the God-man born under the law, will bear the curse of the law. And they ask Him, don't you care? How many times have we thought that though? How many times have we found ourselves in this same place, in this circumstance, in this situation, and in our minds we're going, Jesus, don't you care? Do we have any sense of the authority of Jesus Christ that we can say, Lord, I know You care. I know You care. They wake Him up. He calms the wind and He stills the waves. Those huge waves. He says, be still. And bang. Bang. It's a sea of glass. There's not a ripple. He exposed His authority over the demons of hell. Every demon of hell had to obey. He demonstrated His authority over death. He could stand at Lazarus' tomb and say, Lazarus, come forth. And He came, for death couldn't hold Him. If you're still in Matthew 7, back up to verse 24. Jesus claims authority to be the judge of everyone. to be the judge of all men. Beginning of verse 24, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them. It's not enough just to hear the words of Jesus. As we were looking at in the Sunday school class this morning, it's to hear the words of Jesus and empowered by the Spirit of Christ that now dwells within us to obey the words of Jesus, to do these things, to act on them. Maybe compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rains fell and the floods came and the winds blew and slammed against that house. Yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. There's nothing that can knock us off the foundation of Christ. There's no storm, there's no trial, there's no flood, there's no pain, there's no sorrow. Matter of fact, Christ in His reigning wisdom uses those things to reveal Himself and gives us the opportunity to rest and to trust and to experience His presence all the more in ways that we would never experience. If everything was just always quiet, everything was always peaceful, you'll stand. If you know the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, there's nothing that can touch you that doesn't come through the hands of this authoritative Lord Jesus Christ that will be for His glory and your good. Every tear, every pain, every heartache, the Spirit that we were seeing again this morning in the Sunday school class, the Spirit indwells the new covenant believer, enables us, empowers us through the gospel of Jesus Christ, through the Christ of Scripture, enables us to endure and to persevere and to know a peace and to know a joy. It's beyond understanding. The milquetoast Jesus doesn't do that. Everyone who hears these words of mine, verse 26, and does not act upon them. Everyone who hears this authoritative teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. Everyone who hears these words of mine, claiming all authority, claiming all power, claiming all supremacy, and does not act upon them. These are church people. They've heard the words. But they're like the fig tree, all leaves. They're like the temple, all show. Living one way, all week long, coming on Sunday and putting on a pretense. We'll be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell, the floods came, the winds blew and slammed against that house. And it fell. And great was its fall. I got to believe that we're looking at the temple here. We're looking at the hypocrisy of Judaism. And we're seeing a picture and a type of the hypocrisy and the final day of judgment when we all stand before Christ. But Jesus, not everyone that saith, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom. But he who does the will of my Father, which is to honor Christ and to obey Christ and to believe in Christ. But Lord, we preached in your name and we cast out demons in your name and we did wonderful signs in your name. Depart from me, for I never knew you. You did all these things, but you didn't do it because I knew you. I knew you in the biblical sense. I knew you in love. We had an intimate, personal relationship. We knew one another. We were intimate with one another. And you were doing those things not because you loved me, but because you loved the attention. The gospel makes us do things out of love for Christ. That's the law of Christ. We love Him because He first loved us. We are constrained or controlled by the love of Christ. Christ's love for... If this morning you don't know, and you're not convinced that Jesus Christ loves you, you're just going through motions. If you don't know that you're forgiven, you're just going through motions. That's the first thing you got to settle. That the authority of this Jesus Christ is an authority that has wiped away my sin, past, present, and future. Now I'm ready to love. Now I'm ready to go. Now I'm ready to obey out of love for Christ. The issue in this passage is the authority of Jesus Christ. But before you understand this passage, you've got to understand the authority of Jesus Christ. Is what the Word of God says about the authority of Jesus Christ true? Is what these verses that we have looked at this morning, are they true? Is what Jesus claims for Himself true? Then you must obey Him. You must obey Him. We must obey Him. If they're not true, He's a liar. If they are true, He is Lord of all with absolute authority. But you may be saying, but Jesus asked for so much. No, He didn't. Jesus asked for everything. Everything. He who loves mother or father, son or daughter, husband or wife, or your own life more than me, you're not my disciple. You denied my authority. We got to stop. We didn't get through chapter 11. But just take these verses, take this concept of authority, and now then put it. You can understand these last verses, this last section on your own. It's very simple. Jesus comes to the temple. He's walking around. A group of Sanhedrin guys come up and they're mad at Him. They want to discredit Him from the people. They deny His authority. Jesus says, all right, I'll answer your question if you answer mine. Actually, they asked too. By what authority and who gave you the authority? Jesus said, I only asked one. John's baptism. Was he of God? Or of men? They reason. In the words of that famous film, O Brother, Where Art Thou? This group says, darn, we're in a tight spot. If we say He's from God, John the Baptist was from God, and John testified of Jesus, then Jesus is going to say, why didn't you believe Him? If we say He's of man, they were afraid of the people because the people believed that John was a prophet. These guys didn't believe Jesus was from God. If they believed that He was from God, they wouldn't have been challenging His authority. Why do you do these things? You didn't get permission from us. We're the ones in control of everything. And sometimes we act the same way in our life. Jesus, I didn't give you permission to do that in my life. Who do you think you are? The reigning Lord Jesus Christ. So they say they don't know. Jesus could have said, liar, liar, pants on fire. All unbelievers are liars. Because they're denying the lordship of Jesus Christ. They're denying His authority. So Jesus speaks some of the most terrible words in Scripture. All right. Then I'm not going to tell you by what authority I do these things. I'm not going to tell you. You've sinned the day of grace away. This is the last time Jesus speaks to the Jewish leaders. The judgment is sealed at this moment. Let's stand. Lord, help us to recognize what we're saying when we use the word Lord. When we call you King. Help us to see ourselves as slaves. Purchased slaves. Bought from an eternity of judgment. By the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Lord, as we look around this world and we go through the trials and the difficulties and we hear of the illnesses and the sicknesses and the pain and the suffering. Father, loved ones and family members right now who hate the church, who hate the things of God, who hate Christ. We thank you. That we can come to one who has absolute authority over all things and all people. That we pray not to a milquetoast Lord. We pray to the Lord Jesus Christ. Forgive us. Forgive us of our arrogance and our pride. To think somehow you should answer our questions about what you're doing. Give us the faith through grace to trust you and to make your authority known in word, in thought, in attitude. Lord, help us to the glory and to the praise of our triune God. Amen.